Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio and YouTube. It's good to have all y'all with us right here. It's a beautiful day in North Dakota. I think we're still at about 25 below zero. We're making ice, so bring your ice fishing equipment. Enjoy. Oh, it's only 11 below. It's got a heat wave going. But anyways, we welcome you. We are glad to have you with us tonight for another in the series of Establishing Your Faith. This is a great program about how to walk in faith, live by faith, dwell in faith, function in faith. It's about faith. Because faith, according to the book of John, faith is the victory that overcomes this world. And so we want you to be functioning in the faith that is the victory that overcomes this world. And, you know, Jesus said, when I return to the earth, he's coming in the clouds, going to land on the clouds. I'm going to be caught up in the air to meet him on the clouds. He said, will I find faith on the earth? Those are the words of Jesus the Christ. So that must make faith a very, very, very important process in our life. And so we encourage you to be ready in God and be filled with faith. You want to say it with me? I am filled with faith.
I am filled with faith.
And thank you for being here and being a part. We've been teaching faith now for the better part of almost 4 years.
Woo!
You couldn't even convince me I'd ever even done this 4 years ago. But it'll be all right because Jesus is alive and well, and he's on the inside of you and me. And thank God that We're doing good, and we're doing really good. Now, let me say a couple things to you. Because of what we're learning, and we are learning, if you go to the YouTube channel and you try to find any of our Rebuilding the Walls of Righteousness videos, there'll be a section of those that will not be available. All right? So if you get there and you're like, man, where'd everything go? Just know I already know and I'm telling you about it. It's just a matter of learning and growing and developing. And so, come hang out with us some time before the program, we can talk to you and give you some more details. And join us on Zoom. It's obvious we're going to have to use much more of the Zooming community. You won't be called YouTubers as much as you called Zoomers. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So, now, this is the first of the year. Several things we can catch you up on. Number one, we're fasting this week. And our fast this week is soups and salads. Eat soup, eat salads. That's our fast. Hey, Richard Miller, we're glad you are back, brother. We've been missing you. We were just about ready to send a search party out for you, sir.
We were, seriously.
And like bring a big blowtorch and melt all the snow off your house so you can get out the door. Good to see you, man. Love you. And call you blessed and safe out there. Don't be on that road if they're going to shut it down. Park at the rest area so you can run in and out of the bathroom. Amen. Hallelujah. What was I on? Fasting. Fasting this week. We're fasting soups and salads. Now, you don't have to fast soups and salads. What? You know, yeah, we're eating soups and salads. Our fast this week is eating soups and salads. Let me see. I don't know how to say it any different than that. But anyways, our fast this week is eat anything but soup and salad. Okay, so most importantly, the fast is you getting alone with God and you talking to God. Amen. And so, you know, some people don't know what to do. We have a beeper going on out there. You know, some people are like, I don't know what to fast. Well, then we got an idea. The first week was sweets. The next week was meats. And this week we're going to fast meats and sweets and eat soup and salad. All right. And so got knocked out by the Holy Spirit. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Do it again, Jesus. Do it. Not while he's driving, though. Give him a chance to be driving. Yeah, I love it when you get knocked out by the Holy Ghost. That's a wonderful experience. Somebody was mocking it on Facebook the other day. And, man, I went right in there and made a nice long post about it. It's obvious you've never experienced it because you wouldn't be saying the horrendous words you're saying right now. You better be careful because you might be talking against the Holy Spirit of God. You don't want to do that. Anyways, back to the fast. What's the purpose of fasting? Fasting controls your flesh. The word feeds your spirit. So when you fast and control the flesh, make sure you feast on the word of God. Now, there's a lot of people, they don't necessarily fast. They go on a starvation diet or a hunger strike against God, trying to convince him to finally do something to me. Well, that's just not God. He rewards those who diligently seek him. You did not receive Jesus being born again until you sought his presence. And so I encourage you. Jesus said to the disciples, they said, why couldn't we cast that demon out? And because they'd already casted out demons. They were the demon caster outers of the earth at that time. The disciples were. And he said, because of your unbelief. And they were like, oh, no. And he said, and this kind of unbelief only comes out by prayer and fasting. Blessed thou art. Amen. I like that. Blessed thou art. So anyways, I just encourage you. Get alone with God. Talk and communicate with him. Fast and pray in Jesus' mighty, awesome name. It's a good thing. And if you need some instruction, we got a good teaching or two on it. I got a good outline. Be glad to share it all with you. Send me an email or a message, and we'll get it to you as quickly as we can. In Jesus' name. Now, what else we got to talk about at the beginning of the year here? I got a note about the Revelation series. The curriculum's going to be here on the 20th, which shows 5 days from now. I'm declaring Jesus' name to get here more quickly. I would like to be starting the book of Revelation on the 20th. But we'll see. We'll get that started as quickly as we can. And if you were not here this morning to be a part of Brother Dutch's Giving 15, we can no longer play that on our program. So it's going to be important that you like, subscribe, hit the bell on his website, his YouTube, so that every time he goes live, you have, it sends you a notification. Well, he doesn't go live. Every time he posts a video, it sends you a notification. And you can be viewing that prior to program. Now, we're endeavoring on our morning Zoom to play that with just a Zoom channel. But we do that to the best of our ability, and then sometimes it just doesn't quite get done. But anyways, it's been a good year. We are 15 days into this year already, and that's awesome.
Wow.
Yes, I'm safe. I'm still on vacation.
Vacation is awesome, isn't it?
I love vacation. I'm on a vacation, but it's sort of a forced vacation right now. Really, I'd just soon be out driving. But, you know, ain't no sense to drive when you're just going to sleep in your truck 19 hours out of the 25. And so anyways. And so... been an awesome time. I got to spend 3 days in a row here in the house, Sister Leanne. It's been a wonderful time. And it was cold. I mean, like, it was, like, really cold. And so, anyways, welcome. Don't worry. We'll always make sure we put a timestamp in right at the beginning of the message so you don't have to listen to all this the next time you come back. What else we got to talk about at the beginning of the year? Well, anything specific?
Waiting on you.
Waiting here for you. With our hands.
Syllabuses.
That's just you. We are doing.
Pastor is a little slap happy. He's ready to be driving again.
It's all right.
It is.
It's all right. We're doing a mighty work. Oh, you all in a polar vortex area? No, I think this is just called a North Dakota area. I should read that post today I got. Didn't
oh,
I?
My goodness. That was so funny. Yeah. It kind of is a polar vortex, though, you have to say. It's been, our real field has been 50 below.
It's just North Dakota, you know. It's like, hey, polar vortex, what's that all about? That's just North Dakota. I really think I should read that. Should I really read that?
Yeah.
Do you think so?
I do.
Yeah, but that means I got to find it, and that means it's going to take time, and who knows if you can even find it. But anyways, it's a really good story about North Dakota. You know, if you don't like where you live, then move to North Dakota. Because there's so much. Oh, I know what we got to talk about. Go Lions. How about them Lions? Yeah? Them Lions that showed up. And not only did they show up, they did what was right, and they actually won. Hallelujah. The Lions won. And you know what? Glory be to God. Well, I'm not seeing that, so I'm not going to spend any more time looking because, you know, it was really funny. It's a cool story, but who knows if you're even going to be able to find it. Even though you saw it once. You know, and you know, when you just, never mind. Welcome. Tonight's program is going to be matter of fact, I saw two really good stories today. One about global warming, and then one about the humorous effects of global warming. Can we just finally get to the message? Is that all right if we go ahead and start now? Okay. All right, so somebody write down on a note 15 minutes. 15 minutes.
All right.
Because that's about what we'll need when we get started. Here we go. You got a clean place for notes? 15 minutes. And that's 15 minutes on 15 January. Now, tonight's title is really cool. How many of you like it when we have a really cool title? What to do when you realize you are just a religious mess?
That is a really cool title.
What to do when you realize you're just a plain old religious mess?
That means what do you do?
Tonight, Sister Leanne will be bringing the message. Pastor, why would you preach such a message? Are you experienced at this? Yes, yes, I am experienced at this. What to do when you realize you're just a religious mess? It's a very good title, and I'm not sure. This might take us a couple days to read it, right?
It may
take us a couple days just to read enough verses that we can actually get a grip on reality and change. So what's the most simple answer that you could have for that question? What to do when you realize you're a religious mess? Change. Amen?
You say help us to know how to recognize that. How do we know if we're a religious man?
Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole coined the phrase, change isn't changed until it is changed. Amen. And so, you know, we're just going to dive into this. We're going to read some scriptures out of Acts. We're going to read some scriptures out of Revelation. Have you heard of the book of Revelation? It's a book that reveals a relevant truth to you who are seeking. Amen. So, I'm just going to have fun tonight. I think Sister Leanne is probably right. She usually is. That I might be experienced just a little North Dakota caginess. You know, I'm used to about 250 to 500 miles a day. So, you know, 8 miles in a day is like, what is going on? I'm sure Brother Richard experienced the same thing, you know, like vacation. Are we going to drive somewhere for vacation? You know how confusing it is to just for vacation? We don't know how to do that. Anyways, go Lions. And God bless the University of Michigan Wolverines. They won. Michigan's in good shape this year, aren't we? So here we go. Go with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. And let's get started here. No, wait. That's what my notes say. But that's not what I was instructed when I got started. So let's back up and go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Hey, Wayner dude's with us.
Hey, Wayner.
Mr. John Wayner dude. It's good to have you with us, dude. It's good to have you with us, man. Love you, brother. You know, if you can't get right here, you better get your getter writer fixed. Revelation chapter 3. The title again tonight is what to do when you realize you're just a religious mess. Now, some of you already know where we're going, and you're already like, oh, yeah, that's going to be a good message. Most of all, when you realize you're a religious mess and the pastor begins to preach it, Make sure you've got your good gardening tools with you. A shovel to dig yourself up if you get buried. A rake so you can rake it in and get some good ground to change it. And a pitchfork so when you get some good stuff, you can pitch it off on the person that needs it.
There you go.
But it's not the rocks. Don't dig a rock out of your garden and throw it over somebody else's. That's not a good choice. Revelation chapter 3. Let's go to verse number 14. What to do when you realize you're just a religious mess. This is really good. I really like this title. It's going to be a great series. Who knows how many messages it's going to be, but it's all right. Rebecca Smith is with us. Good welcome to you, Rebecca. It's good to have you here. Revelation chapter 3. Hold your Bible up and let's make our confession together. This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says. There we go. That way we can all say it together at the same time. This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says. I am what Jesus says I am. Because he is the great I am. The Holy Spirit of God, my resident teacher, is making his word come alive in my life tonight. I receive the word of God and plant him as a seed in the good soil of my heart, producing a hundredfold return and more in my spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, and amen. Now, just every pause here. I've come to the realization I'm missing one. I go do what he tells me to do. You got to be a doer of the word. Amen. There we go. All right. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And to the angel of the church of Laodicea, write these things, says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God. Interesting title for him, isn't it? Let's keep reading. I know your works. Pause. Do you know your works? Or are you just one of those that's like, well, I'm all right. It's all right. I may not be perfect like Brother So-and-so, but I'm all right. No. God said, Jesus said, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. What is God's desire for us? To be hot. God don't want you to be cold. But he's saying to these guys, I could wish you were cold or hot, because what are you? But you are lukewarm. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. I'm rich. I have become wealthy. I have need of nothing. And do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Goodness sakes alive, Pastor, help us. I command you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with salve, the oil of the Holy Spirit. that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame, sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What to do when you realize you're just a religious mess? Well, here's an example of somebody that's a religious mess. This is Jesus the Christ revealing to John the Revelator on the beach at the Isle of Patmos in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. This is what the last generation is going to look like. Poor, wretched, blind, naked. Wait, poor, you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. But think about this statement. The spirit of religion always wants you to look religious, act religious, talk religious, but have no righteousness. The Spirit of Christ wants you to have full righteousness, and he don't care how you sound, talk, look, act, or anything. Think about this statement. The spirit of religion wants you to look as though you're something and you're nothing. The Spirit of Christ wants you to be holy because he made you holy, and then you will be holy no matter what you look like. Have you noticed that? What did I see? I saw yesterday. I saw Hulk Hogan getting baptized.
Yeah.
Wasn't that awesome? I saw Hulk Hogan getting baptized. Glory be to God. The man that reached the pinnacles he did, the levels he did, and yet saying, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior and the most important part of my life. Well, glory be to God. Hallelujah. We're glad you found me. Now, watch this. Hold your place there. Stick you a card, like get one of Mary Pastorek's cards. Remember what it said? I saw God last night. And he's a superstar. And now not only is Don in heaven, so is Mary. Mary, bless you. Why'd you take off so early? Go with me to the book of Acts now. Check this out. Well, let's look at another one of these messed up when you just realize you're a religious mess. Acts chapter 8, verse number 4. Acts 8, 4. And this is Acts 8, 4 down through 25. Now, we're gonna hit some of the same verses that we hit on a regular basis, but you know what? Now, here we go. Verse 4, Acts 8, 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Remember, Saul of Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. What city? Samaria. Remember what Samaria was? The Samaritan woman? The woman at the well? She went and told the people, her five husbands, her five ex-husbands, and they all believe. And now God is able to do mighty miracles there. All right? Verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Man, don't ever say that about a man. I'll say it again. Don't ever say that about a man. This man is the power of God. This man has my answers. Nah, this man might carry the answer. And thank God he's paid the price to get the answer, but stop worshiping men. Here we go. 11. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So what you and I are seeing is truth and error, false. They're going to come head to head in this verse, number 13. Then Simon himself also believed. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. And when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had not fallen upon them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that through the laying on of hands, the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Anybody want to say, uh-oh? Uh-oh. You can't buy the Holy Spirit? Keep going. Verse 20, Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thoughts of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. How would you like to have the great prophet say that to you in front of everybody? Most American Christians would be like, I, like a little dog, and run off with their tail between their legs. But look at Simon. 24. Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you've spoken may come upon me. Why? Because he watched what those men spoke happen. And he's like, that guy just spoke that on me. I better fix this real quick. So when they testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in the many villages of the Samaritans. Now, would you agree with me? Simon was a religious mess. Simon the sorcerer. Mm-hmm. What did he do immediately when Peter rebuked him? Whoa. Pray to God that none of that happens to me. Why? What did Jesus say? Repent. Let's go back there. Revelation 3. Look what he said. Buy from me. What he said. Let me find the right word. Buy from me. This is verse 3:18. Buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, anoint your eyes with eyesight that you may see. As many as I love, I chasten and rebuke. Therefore, be zealous and repent. And Jesus gives us a great example of what to do when it's time to repent. Number one, be zealous. Be filled with zeal and say, hold it. I'm not living like that. Now, let's go grab another verse. Want to grab another one?
Sure.
We got time?
3 what? 18 that was, John.
You do what?
John asked 3 what? Revelation 3 what?
See, if you're not a part of this program regularly, you'd be like, what are they talking about? 3 what? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And let's go, let's start with verse 9, and we'll go through 12. Hebrews 6, 9 through 12. Now watch this. That was, I went back to Revelation 3, and that was Revelation 3, 16 through 19. Yeah, you're right, 19. All right. Hebrews 6, 9 through 12. Rebecca, you're doing good. Beloved, we're confident of better things concerning you, things that accompany salvation though we speak in this manner. God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you've shown toward his name and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. 12, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Now watch this. When you read the beginning of chapter 6, it's talking about those who fall away after they've been enlightened, that it's impossible to bring them back to God. And then Paul says here, but we're confident of better things about you. Now, let me see if I can get a marker in all of these different places where I am here. Let's just talk about this for a minute. Jesus. It's all right. Be zealous and repent and follow those who through faith, you believe God is, you know he rewards you when you seek him, and patience inherit the promise. Well, let's grab it. Let me just grab it. It's Galatians chapter 6, Galatians, the book of Galatians, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians chapter 6. Let's just get these verses out and read them. Six, 1 through 10. I'm just going to read it. We got time. Brethren, if Galatians 6, 1 through 10. Galatians 6, 1 through 10. If a man is overtaken in a trespass, you are spiritual. Restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone among you thinks himself to be something, when he's nothing, he deceives himself. It's an interesting statement, isn't it? But let each one examine his own work, and then he'll have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who's taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, in doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart or faint. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith. Now, I ran out of fingers, so I got to go back over here and borrow one more marker. Now, here's the picture we're going to paint, and then we're going to read some more verses. What to do when you realize you're just a plain old religious mess? Number one, be zealous and repent. Amen? Just write it right down in your notes. Number one, be zealous and repent. It's what Jesus said to him in the book of Acts, the book of Revelation, be zealous and repent. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, how in the world can you even tell if you're just a plain old religious mess? Well, when you look at those who through faith and patience inherit the promises, are you getting the same thing they are? Because if you're not, then look at yourself and say, get a grip. Let's start seeing a manifestation of God and his word in our life. You ever just feel like, I don't even know what the Bible's all about? Pastor preaches it and it sounds good, but I don't get it. Well, wait. There's only one way you're going to get it, and that's to look at yourself and say, you know what? I don't get it. Now, there's a lot of people that would never do that. There's people that would be like, no, man, I ain't saying that. Well, but that's the first step to overcoming weakness, failure, confusion, and the worst place anybody could ever be is religiosity. You look religious, you talk religious, you act religious. But when you're all by yourself, you're a long ways from religious. Remember, you are what you are in front of everybody else. That's putting on a show. You are what you are all by yourself. That's when you're you. That's the real you. When you got to look at yourself and say, wait a minute, it's time to change me. Now, I'm not going to tell your story, although I should. Because that way, people would be upset at you, not at me. But watch this. I remember in my own life, we were talking about this today. That's when this came up to me. I remember in my own life, when I was in Bible college, I didn't know what was wrong, but I knew something wasn't right. I didn't know what it was. I was as good as everybody around me, you know, and thank God I was there instead of out in sin. I mean, I'm not criticizing and condemn them, but I was as good as what they were. But when you look around at it, you're like, well, something ain't right. Because I got to where I hated to see Sunday night come around. Why? Because the condemnation was going to come on me so severe during church, I was going to have to go back up to the altar and pray again. Well, the reality was nobody there ever said, why are you going to the altar so much? Don't you realize that's just your Christian life? You just want to be closer to God? Quit coming to the altar. You're already saved. I'm not a saved guy you'll ever meet. I went to the altar. Why? Well, I wasn't going to have Jesus return and me not repent of my last, you know, ate too many cookies or something. And I got to where I hated to see Sunday night come around because I was going to be so condemned when I got to church. Wait, you might even say, what, Pastor? Well, I would get diarrhea. I'd get an upset stomach. I'd begin to dread even going in the building. Man, you were a religious mess, weren't you? Yeah. Hopefully you're not as bad of a religious mess as what I am. Don't tell my story. That's the cool thing about this. I don't have to tell anybody else's story.
You've got enough of your own.
I got enough of my own story. Wait, man, wait. Think about what Jesus said to the woman at the well. You've had five husbands, and the man you're with is not even married to. And she's like, whoops. Hello. But Jesus didn't condemn her. Did you notice that Jesus didn't condemn her?
He did not condemn her.
But what did he give her to do? Be zealous and repent. Go get him and bring him here. He gave her an assignment to go do. Why? Because if you don't go do the word of God, you're just going to be religious and you're going to deceive yourself. Think about what the Apostle John's. It's the Apostle on page 1572. No, think about what the Apostle James said. John's. You know, it's close. James and John's.
Yeah. Tomato, tomato.
Tomato, tomato. You know, what difference does a motto? Where did it go? Why does that verse always escape me? There it is. It's James chapter 1, verse 22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Be a doer of the word. Amen?
Amen.
I like Brother Keith. Say it. I'm a doer of the word.
I'm a doer of the word.
Did you ever say it again? Say it again. I'm a doer of the word.
I'm a doer of the word.
No, you're supposed to say all the mother words in tongues first.
Oh.
And so I knew I was a mess. But I didn't know there wasn't anybody there that was telling me what to do to fix the mess, and check it out. They put me in the quartet. They put me up in front of people teaching. And here I am up in front of everybody else thinking, what am I even doing up here? I mean, I can sing. So, being able to sing, that's cool. Not preach? No, I don't want to preach. I'll sing and eat pizza and have ice cream afterwards and invite you to come to my college. That's cool. That made it sound bad. It wasn't quite that bad. But anyways. No, see, on the inside, I knew there was something different. There was something more. And the bottom line in every one of our lives, when we realize there's something different and something more than what we've been taught, it is now important, like we heard Jesus say to the last generation church, be zealous and repent. It is of absolute importance that you and I in ourselves be zealous and repent. What does repent mean? We heard Brother Dutch explaining it the other day. It not only means turn and go the other way, but it means come to the new revelation of where you're at. It means get a revelation. Be zealous and repent. We have ice cream. You just reminded me. We're fasting ice cream, Rebecca. What are you doing?
You know, it doesn't count if you put lettuce in it.
No, and it doesn't count if you put lettuce in your ice cream and make ice cream salad. Well, Pastor, I'll even cut up some eggs and, you know, some celery sprouts and put it in there. Don't you love being a Christian? I do. So, you know, be a doer of the word. That's James chapter 2, verse 22. But let's keep reading. 23. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his face in the mirror. He observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. You know, some people look in the mirror and say, that's a mess, but there ain't nothing I can do, so what are you going to do? You ever looked in the mirror and just said, what a mess? Just go get in the shower and get yourself all cleaned up and then quit calling yourself a mess. Look in the mirror and say, you're a mighty man and woman of God, and go do what God's given you to do. Amen. Let's keep reading. Verse 25. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does.
Hallelujah.
Say it with me. Raise your right hand. Say, I choose to be a doer.
I choose to be a doer.
Of the word of God.
The word of God.
In Jesus' mighty name. 26. If anyone among you thinks he's religious, here's where people fall right here, and does not bridle your own tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Everybody with me? Hold your hands, bow your heads, and say it. Forgive me of my words.
Forgive me of my words.
I had to wait till Sister Leanne said it because she needs to really repent of this. Hey, everybody, pause. I now need to repent of what I just said, so give me a chance to repent first. Now, wait, look at what he says. If anyone is religious and does not bridle his tongue, religion is vain. But wait, you know what else he said? If anyone's religious and doesn't become a doer of the word, that person's religious religion is in vain. What? This isn't a hearing gospel. It's not about hearing, even though faith comes to you by hearing. But the whole purpose of hearing is that you go do and begin to watch it manifest in your life. You know, there's a lot of people, it's like, well, I know that's what the Bible says, Pastor, but, you know, that's for you guys. I'm just not going to do that. And yeah, I know, it's all right. Some of you can do it, but I'm just not going to do that. Well, I got a word for you. That means you know that you need to do it, and now you're resisting saying, I know I should do that, but I'm just not going to do it. And then to think that you're going to continually stay in the same place with God is not going to happen. Because he's going to call you to the next level, and he needs you to say, well, I don't know how, but I'm going to get there. See, it's when we stop and say, I know that's where you guys are going, but I'm not going to do that. Well, I got a word for you. If you come here and you hear us preach, then you don't have to accomplish it all tomorrow. The idea is, God, help me get up, get moving, and get on down the road, so that I can see the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow come to my life right here, right now, today, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. So what is it? Be zealous and repent. Number two, let's write in here. Be a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word of God. All right? Be a doer. That means when you see it, tell you to go do, go do. When the word of God says forgive, forgive. When the word of God says do not be bitter, don't be bitter. When the word of God says love, love. When the word of God says give, find a way to give. When the word of God says study, study. Be a doer of the word of God. Be a doer of the word of God. And, you know, if anyone amongst you thinks he's religious and doesn't bridle his tongue, that one's religious. Remember, when you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13 and 14, you learn about the gifts of the Spirit. You learn about the greatest gift is love, and then you learn about praying in tongues and the life in the Spirit and being placed in the body. That's all. That's 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. That's what you learn about it. But you can study all that and say, well, I know, but I'm not worried about whether or not I'm being led by the Spirit. If I want to say something, I'm just going to say it. Well, that's not God. Just because you once said something doesn't mean that you're the one that's supposed to now be the one talking. Especially if what's being said is not experienced. Follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Now, we should probably put that in as number three. I'm writing a list right now. Follow those who have received the kingdom. Function in it. Now, go with me now to 2 Timothy Amen. Amen, Richard. I repent for the walnut thing.
I agree. Real chocolate and walnuts are healthy.
Real chocolate and walnuts are healthy. Yes, they are. Amen. Now, listen, most of all, this is what I want you to get. Number one, do not be condemned.
Amen.
My biggest problem in high school and Bible college was condemnation. If somebody would have taught a message then about the difference in conviction and condemnation, that would have changed a whole bunch of things. Now, wait, it would have messed up a bunch of their ministries because they wouldn't have got anybody at the altar because we would realize, wait, it's just condemnation. I don't need to go to the altar. I'm not under conviction. I'm being condemned by you. Don't be condemned, and don't let anyone condemn you, right?
Amen.
Don't let anybody condemn you. Wait, don't even let your own heart condemn you, and we'll go there in just a minute, but right now we got to get to 2 Timothy, so quit trying to make the road go a different way. We got to get this verse in. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let's go down here to verse 14 and we'll go down through 19. Second Timothy 2:14-19. Watch this. Wait, let me pause for a minute, and then I'll say this. I didn't know then how to change me into what I am now. I didn't know how. I just knew there was a place I wanted to get to that wasn't where I am. I saw other people doing it. You're like, how can that man have miracles, signs, and wonders, and then that group of people don't? Well, wait a minute. That group of people that don't have signs and wonders, they're bound, they're lost, they're lonely, they're confused. They stand up and talk about dry places. These guys that's got signs, wonders, and miracles, they have springs of living water, and they're happy all the time. They fall down. You know, what did Brother Richard just say? Got knocked out by God? I like that. These guys are very well lubricated, oiled. They get the flow of the living water, and these guys are dry and crusty. That's not too hard to understand. There's a difference, but I got to figure out how to get over there. Be zealous and repent. Be a doer of the word of God. Follow those who have received the kingdom and are functioning in the kingdom. Follow that person. Hey, Pastor. There ain't nobody in my church doing that. Well, get out of that church. Well, can't do that. You might shake a few people up and get out. Where did I say to read? 2 Timothy 2:14. Remind them. Remind them of these things charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit. To the ruin of the hearers. When you strive about words, you end up ruining some hearers. Well, if we're not going to strive about words, how are we going to learn something? Get your nose in the book and find out what the book says. Quit striving about words. Keep reading. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The King James says, study to show yourself approved unto God. You study this book and you show yourself approved to God by your study of this book. Pastor, I don't even know. Well, write down the verses that I give you. Go through and read them again, and then read them again, and then read them again, and then write them out in the order and read them again until all of a sudden that list of verses begin to make sense, and they are now part and placed down in your life and become a part of you. Follow those. How did anybody anywhere at any time in the kingdom get a hold of a revelation? Except they opened up this book and said, I am going to get this revelation now in my life. And I'm not going to relent. I'm not going to release. I'm not going to let go until I see this manifest in my life in Jesus' mighty name. Diligently looking for a church. I couldn't find one. I knew I didn't want to go to the religious churches that were around me. Then I went in there and it's like, you would come out spitting twigs and branches and cotton. It was dry. And I'd come out saying, well, they're nice people, but that's not what I want in my life. I want the springs of living water. Why do I go in there and just feel dry? And the people would stand up and testify, well, I'm going through a draw spell right now. Well, wait. You ain't supposed to have a dry spell in your life. Well, Pastor, how can you say such a thing? Don't you realize Sister Mabel, wonderful Mildred, the other day said she stood up and had a dry spell? Don't you know she's one of the most blessed saints we got in our church, my dear pastor? I don't care who Mabel Mildred is. You're not supposed to have a dry spell. Can I read a story?
Absolutely.
Thank you for the permission. All of you pray for Sister Lynn to always know when to give me permission. John 7:37. And through 39. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out. All right? Get the picture. I have plumb run out of bookmarks here. Everybody's sitting and eating a big feast. I got plenty. You don't like me to save them, but those are all wonderful. I mean, I got bookmarks aplenty here. And, I mean, look at all my bookmarks. I'm ready. These are bookmarks. Pastor, did you just hold up a $1 bill? I did, but it makes a good bookmark. This is the great feast. Do you remember what feast this is? I think this is the great feast. So this is probably the Passover. or the Day of Atonement. Anyways, Jesus stood up on the last day of the feast, and he said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Feast of Tabernacles. This he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. But as the scripture says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water.
37 to 39, John.
John 7, 37 through 39. Well, just get the picture. If out of your belly is going to flow rivers of living water, guess what you got to say? Well, I wonder what in the world that means about living waters flowing out of my innermost being. Well, you're going to get born again, receive Jesus, all your sins are wiped away, righteousness is imputed to you. And then you say, Holy Spirit, fill me. And now from deep within you, out of your innermost being, your spirit, man, here comes rivers of living water. Why? The Holy Spirit has now filled you. The Holy Spirit is not dry. He's called the oil of the Holy Spirit. Right here, he's called springs. It's called rivers. You know, where's that one found? Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. That's over here in John. It's in John 4, 13. Jesus said to the woman at the well, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst, but the water I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. What do? Be zealous, repent, be a doer of the word of God. Follow those who by faith and patience inherit the promise. Whatever you do, don't sit there and be the same old dry, crusty stick you've always been throughout your whole life. Change. Study to show yourselves approved unto God. Here, just for the sake that it'll freak some people out, I'm going to put a dollar bill. In my Bible as a marker. It's because some people deserve to freak about a dollar being in your Bible. It's just a cool story of a young man who went away to college. He'd been gone for about 3 weeks, called home, said, Dad, I need some more money. He said, Son, I can't help you, but read your Bible. If you'll read your Bible, it'll help you. And he called back a couple weeks later, like, Dad, I really need some money. He goes, I can't help you, son, but if you just read your Bible. And when he finally got home at Christmas, he called his dad and said it many times, and his dad said, have you read your Bible? No, Dad, I didn't have time. He said, well, when you get back, you should probably read your Bible. And when he got back, he opened up his Bible, and his dad had put $100 bills all through the Bible. It pays to read your Bible. Watch this. I'm back in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Study to show yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God, the word of truth. Here's the reality of it. You don't have to be concerned about whether or not I think you're studying the Bible enough. Thought maybe I'd get a few greater amens. You see, it's not about what I think. It's not about what your pastor thinks. It's not about what your mama, your daddy, anybody else thinks. Are you studying to show yourself approved unto God? Say this with me. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Live on the inside of me.
Live on the inside of me.
And therefore are leading me.
For are leading.
From the inside out.
From the inside out.
Now, you may not have been a very diligent student the last time I taught how to use your Bible to study. But I'm going to get the video out. Matter of fact, I'm going to require you to go on YouTube and find the video and then share it with everyone the rest of us. How to study the Bible. Why? Because what is it you want from God and His Word? The answer is in this book. Listen to me now. Not only is the answer here in the Bible, but you and I have already studied every part of the Bible you'll ever need to have studied, and we have a teaching on it right here on YouTube, and it's available for you 24/7, 365. You're just not availing yourself to it, because instead of being a doer of the word, you're being a hearer, and when this program's done, you're just going to listen to another program. Rather than saying, wait a minute, Pastor's already taught us about this, let's go get that video and become diligent about this word, so that I can be a not just a hearer, but a doer, and actually see the word of God come to pass in my life.
Amen.
Now, Brother Jerry Savelle said about this year, let me see if I can find the exact quote. Jerry Savelle, I declare right now in my...
John, we were in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we read verses 14 to 19, and then we went to John 7, verses 37 to 39.
2 Timothy 2, 14 to 19. Sorry about that, brother. Wait, no, wait, we don't have sorrow. We get out of sorrow.
John, are you in the family thread?
My days is in the family practice distractions. Biden word, base power, sin, amen, isn't that something? Took all them wonderful notes, and I didn't even put the answer. I didn't even put the right word in there. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? I declare over every one of you, do not listen to a good message without taking good notes that will be a blessing to you down the road. This is his statement, even though it's going to be missing a few words. It is vital, important, and even mandatory to stay in faith. Stay focused on the promises of God. And do not let anything in the world distract you from receiving the promises of God in your life. Vital, important, and mandatory. Vital, important, and mandatory. Isn't that so? Well, just don't do that. Even though I did it, just don't do it. Going back here, that's not the right place. Jeez. Got back to my notes. Now watch this. Where are we at? 10 minutes still. Oh, I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It is vital and mandatory that we stay in faith and allow no distractions to break our focus of saying, I'm going to get that situation spiritually happening in my life right now, this year. I don't care what happens. I don't care what happens. Oh, here we go. I'm in 2 Timothy now. 2 Timothy 2. Now I'm in verse 16. Shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. There are some people who speak for no other reason than they just love to hear themselves speak. Because the only thing they have to say is about some wives' tale, something that grandma or grandpa or somebody else used to say, and they have no depth of character of accomplishing the word of God, and then they just speak, and they want everybody to listen to them, rattle on. No, study. Show yourself approved. Make sure if you believe a doctrine, you've got 5-10 verses to back that doctrine up. Make sure you can find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, and the epistles, because there's a whole lot of doctrines in this day that they're just not really real, but they got verses for them out of the Bible, but they're all taken out of context. This living the Christian life is actually pretty simple. His yoke is easy and his burden light. All right. Shun profane and idle babblings, they'll increase to more ungodliness. Their message will spread like a cancer, like Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Don't let the words out of your mouth overthrow the faith of some. Teach people, study, be diligent, go deep, walk with God. Don't tell them, it's all right, honey, just don't worry about it. Well, I'm going to get to heaven anyways. No. There'll be some people, if they don't press, they won't get to heaven. You got to press. 19. The solid foundation of God stands having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the Lord the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Depart from iniquity. Now, let me grab one more set of verses, and we're going to close this thing up. Do you hear that silence? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's good because it makes us think. Let's do this. Go with me to John chapter 3. I have so many places I could go right now. You looked at me like you were waiting for something. Did I not give my reference?
No. Well, you said John 3.
Oh, John 3. Well, yeah, go there.
All right. You reading the whole chapter?
1 through 20. 1 through 21. Watch this. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Most of the Pharisees were what? Just a religious mess. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? I mean, Jesus threw Nicodemus a curveball, man. He's like, what? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Watch this. Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said, how can these things be? Watch this. Jesus said, are you a teacher of Israel and you do not know these things? What was Jesus saying to the scribes and Pharisees his whole ministry. You snakes, you vipers, you hypocrites, you whitewashed sepulchers, you clouds with no rain. Well, that's what he was saying to them. Wait, you're the teachers, and you don't know this? I want you to think about it. When somebody comes to you and says, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and have my heavenly prayer language, do you know how to get them there? Well, probably not if you don't have it in your own self. So don't be giving them a bunch of gobbledygook until you get it. And don't stop till you get it. Well, but pastor. Don't well, but pastor me. I was a bigger spiritual mess than anybody. And I got it. Wait, and when I got it, I wasn't even at church. I was at work. Maybe that's what the problem is. More people got work in a fiberglass factory. Because there, and by there, you decide I need the Holy Ghost working here. Let's keep reading. I'm in verse 11, John 3:11. Most of that I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive these our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. The Son of Man who is in heaven. Look at what it says. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into this world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. What was Jesus saying to Nicodemus? You ready? A Pharisee. Those who could quote Genesis through Deuteronomy. They could quote the Pentateuch by memory. They could obey all the law. Jesus looked at him and said, you must be born again. And it doesn't say Nicodemus went away sorrowful, right? You see, this is what some people don't realize. They never come to the point of looking themselves in the mirror and saying, you know what? You're a religious mess. Get the truth and get it figured out and start putting your feet down on some solid verses and stand on them until you see them manifest in your life. You think about the verses that we're teaching you here for the last 2 years, there's about 50 of them, and it's the same 50. And we don't stray from it. And I'm not going to stop teaching you to be one with the Father until you are. I'm not going to stop teaching the Matthew chapter 13 until you get all the rocks out, all the thorns out, all the wayside tilled up, and your soil begins to be soft, pliable soil that you can put a seed in, and it produces a hundredfold return. What? Until we get this, we can't stop preaching this. Because until you get it, guess what? You don't get it. There's no shame in admitting I'm not there yet. Greater shame is to act like you're there when you know you're not. And when you get alone with yourself, you're like, you're such a hypocrite. Well, pastor, I've never called myself a hypocrite. Well, maybe you got to get in your thing and start calling yourself a hypocrite because you don't have it yet. Well, I'm not going to do that. I've been born again. I know. But born again is one step in the Christian life. Now it's time to enter in and get some solidity in your life. I was talking faithful brother the other day. And I said, it is time for the hundredfold return to manifest in our lives. It is time for your life and mine to be an example of a hundredfold return so that the world looking at us will say, how are you guys prospering in this crazy financial times that we're living in? And we can say, well, the Bible teaches when you give, it will be given unto you. How? Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, pressed down, shaken together, pressed down, shaken together, and then running over. See, when we get this revelation and we get it down in our life and we fight for it and hold on to it and declare the word of God to come to pass, then all of a sudden we are that example in the world to say one thing about it, that guy's got it going on. Remember what Hebrews said? Follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, I like it when everything manifests right now today.
Yeah.
I was studying a message, Brother Keith Moore, the other day, and Brother Keith said, I'm telling you, I'm so excited. Phyllis and I, that's his wife, Phyllis and I marked an item off of our list we've been believing for that's been there for 12 years. Wow. Is there anything in your life you've been believing for 12 years? If you're not into asking God for the exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think, then you're probably going to say, no, there's not something in my life that I've been asking God for, and it's taken 12 years to get here. But I'm going to tell you right now, I got something, and that's about exactly what I've been speaking it. It's about 12 years and saying, I command you to manifest now in the mighty name of Jesus. And then here's the cool thing. Did you get it? I am the Frito Bandito. I'm asking God for some things that are in the hundreds of millions of dollars. Oh, Pastor. Wait, Jesus wants you and I to ask exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. If you don't ask for something big, it ain't above what you can ask or think. And I know this. It's coming. It's already done in the realm of the spirit, and it's coming. And when it manifests, I'm going to be going, whoa! And so is a whole bunch of other people. But here's the cool part of it. I've been speaking it. I've been saying it. I wrote out a vision about it. Watch this. Well, 3 nights ago, I'm on here. I see a preacher with a jet. And he's preaching in front of his jet. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. And I didn't even know the guy had a jet. Well, then I go start searching it up and find out he's not only a preacher with a jet, he's a preacher that owns an FBO. I mean, it's not, what's the FBO? A fixed-based operation. That's one of these places where when the plane lands, they got fuel for them in a little building, and you go in there, and there's a guy in the radio, that's noise. That's the truckers. You know, flight 777, take lane number 3. You go in there, and you can hear all that. This guy owns a FBO. He doesn't own a jet. He owns a FBO. He's a preacher. Do you know what that man said on that video? He said what I wrote on my paper about my vision from God, and he's doing it. I just sat there looking at that going, would you look at that right there? I'm fixing to go meet this guy. I'm going to go say, I've seen the same things. Put your faith with mine because I want to add what I'm doing to what you're doing right there. Well, Pastor, I don't know where you're going to buy a jet because I'm not afraid to ask for the exceeding abundantly above all we can ask. Think. Remember what Brother Jesse said? God's not asking you for to pay for it. God's asking you to believe for it. Remember when he said that? See, some of you won't say what God's been showing you because you think you have to pay for it. And my goodness, how am I ever going to pay for that? I only make $22 an hour. Well, it ain't about how much you make. Who in the world, in any ministry, anywhere, ever had enough money to get done what God wanted them to do? I'd like to bend Dr. Oral Roberts in 1940, whatever, and he said, all right, Oral, build me a university. Oh, yeah, there you go. A university, right. And then God said, no, go out there and stand in that field over there. And he went over and stood on this little knob of this field, and he said, here's your university. And they ain't nothing there but empty fields. But you go there today and stand on the same knob, and you have Oral Roberts University that's worth billions of dollars today. Why? Because a man knew that God asked him to do a whole lot more than he could ever get done by himself. So that makes us, that demands of us that we function in faith and say, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven and in my life. Watch this. Everybody look up here. Thy will be done. Watch my fingers. In this earth. Say it. I'm dirt. Say, I'm earth. God wants his will done in this dirt as it is in heaven. But if you ain't never asking for anything bigger than new tires on your car, then you ain't going to get it. You might say, Pastor, I don't even know what to ask. Then speak with me. And I've been saying this for 3 years. I need a whole team of editing team. I need a whole office. We got a whole office building over here that we've got to buy, and it's right out there on the river, like where the most beautiful place you ever seen. Amen. Speak it, Brother Wainer. Amen. John's seen it.
Yeah, John has seen it.
Amen. And Richard Miller, that's what Andrew Womack did.
Yeah.
What did Andrew Womack say his last? He's got over $180 million worth of buildings paid for cash now.
Yeah.
Woo! Why? Because he quit worrying about doing it himself and said, all right, God, you show me how to do it.
Yep.
Well, Pastor, I could never do that. I know, because you're trying to get it done in your own strength. So what have I presented you tonight? I've presented you with yourself. Some of you aren't a religious mess. Some of you aren't. That's okay. As a matter of fact, it's not okay. It's just good. You're not a religious mess. You didn't have all this religiosity to deal with. You didn't have years of religion to get overcome and acting good and talking good and looking good, but not good. Acting good in church and go home cussing like a drunken sailor. That ain't good. Every idle word you have spoken, I have spoken, we're going to be held accountable for it on the other day, on the other side. You might say, well, Pastor, you never saw me do it. I know I don't. You don't have to worry about whether or not I saw you do it. Anybody, I saw you. God Almighty sees you, and he's not condemning you. He's saying, wait a minute. Get a reality. Rebuke that out of your life. Go there another day. I made you a new creation. I made you the righteousness of God. I made you, filled you with my Holy Spirit. I have given you rivers of living water flowing up out of the innermost being of your belly. And since the Holy Spirit is in you, you got the resident teacher walking with you every single day of your life. You see, you got to slow it down and go back to the beginning. Are you born again? Yes. Great. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Sort of. Yeah. No, you either are or you ain't. If you ain't, say, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Now you're filled. See, there got to come a point where you get confidence in yourself to say, I'm born again. I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm walking with God. But Pastor, you don't know what I did. Get out of what you did. Woo! All right, I got to find one more verse. I need another dollar. Maybe tomorrow night I'll have $100 bills and stick them in my Bible.
Hallelujah.
Really freak some folks out. What is that guy got? $100 bills in his hand. Okay, wait. We'll move them up like this so that when we're holding our Bible up, making the confession, I can shake them dollar bills right at people. And they'll be like, what's that guy got $100 bills in his Bible for? Who in the world do you think
God
he is? Who does he think he is over there with them $100 bills in his pocket like that? Who is that man? I'm a born-again son of Almighty God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let me find this verse. Why am I having trouble finding this verse? Hold on. Hold on. It's right here. It's, go to Hebrews chapter 5. It's in this chapter. It's not Hebrews chapter 5. Consciousness of sin. Where's that verse? Sin. Nope. Consciousness. Nope. Change the translation. Here's how you do it.
Hebrews
10:2.
For worshipers once cursed should have no consciousness.
Hebrews 10:2. Score for Sister Leanne. Well, I was looking in Hebrews 5:2. Wow. Watch this. Amen, Richard. Just claim that God's provided it. Amen.
Yes, Richard. 10:2.
10:2. Now watch this. Let's read 1 and 2. And let's read 1 through 4.
All right.
For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of those things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. So the animal sacrifice was never going to make them perfect so that they didn't need to have another sacrifice. Why? It was, you know, an animal sacrifice. 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sin. Sin consciousness. In these sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins every year. Now, this is just, glory be to God. I just had to get up and shout a little bit. Woo! My goodness, watch this. I hope you're ready for this. Woo! Hebrews 10:4. It's a big 10:4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away any sin. But now watch this. Let's go now to verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed or purged with pure water Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now, so the blood of the bulls and the goats wasn't good enough, but the blood of Jesus is. Now, go back now to 10. This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws in their hearts, in their minds. I'll write them. Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, where there is the remission of sin, there's no longer an offering for sin. Now, watch this. Over here in verse 2, it says that the animals being sacrificed was not enough to take the consciousness of sin away. But over here in verse 18, it says, now because there's remission of sin, there's no longer an offering for sin. Jesus did it once and for all, and he took away all your sin. So stop being sin conscious.
Audrey, stand in agreement with you.
Hallelujah. I love this. See how many more verses I got right now? I got a whole bunch. But we'll come back tomorrow and we'll deal with them because we're already 20 minutes after. Watch this. I want you to see this. The reason most people are a religious mess is they've not allowed the blood of Jesus to truly purge them from the consciousness of sin. Say it with me. I have been made the righteousness of God.
I have been made the righteousness of God.
Woo! Brother John said to run around the room. It's your turn to run, love. Careful, there's lots of stuff over there. If I ran that way, John, there's now a new file cabinet there, and I would try to jump over the printer, and it'd be a horrible mess. John's been in this room. He knows what it looks like. See, the blood of bulls and goats could not take away the sin consciousness. They had to keep doing it. But the blood of Jesus, once and for all. All right, I got to get that verse. Let's see. Hebrews 9:12. Not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Once for all. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctified for the purifying of the flesh, 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Woo! Once and for all. Say this. I will not live sin conscious.
I will not live sin
conscious. I will not. That's a challenge. You're going to have to get this book out and get you some scriptures on that. I will not live sin conscious. Don't just be a hearer. Be a doer of the word. Some of you, it's the next step you got to get. You're not ever going to get the Holy Spirit of God to fill you and baptize you until you, wait a minute. Jesus purged all sin. He took all my sin and wiped it away, and he imputed his righteousness into me. I am now the righteousness of God. I am not what that old sin was. God removed it from me because I received him. Makes you want to just do backflips and cartwheels. Hold on, I'll take a drink of coffee and settle myself down. Wow. 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 What are we doing next? Is it time to go home? Now see, the first thing that some of you got to do is say, wait a minute. I know I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not a spiritual mess because I'm born again. But I got to take this one step at a time. Be like those who through faith and patience and actually inherit these promises. And others can look at me and say, something's changed in your life. What is it? And you can say, I'm walking with God and he's turning me into a mighty man, mighty woman of God. And not be ashamed of it. Well, Pastor, don't you know that we're all just born again sinners? What's the word? I haven't said it, heard anybody say it in so long. I don't even know how to say it. How do they say it? I'm just a
sinner.
I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Wait. Wait, you're either a sinner or you're saved by grace. You're not both. If you're a sinner, get saved. If you're saved, you're no longer a sinner. Stop saying it. And what we just read in Hebrews said, God took away the consciousness of sin. Quit being sin conscious. Be righteousness conscious. Good preaching. You know, we was just in a big conference hall somewhere. We'd get up and all of us could run around.
Okay.
Just run right around the building, run around the room, do laps, do double laps and have a double circle going around each other. Just don't run into each other. I've seen that a few times. You can't be both. You're either a sinner and you need to get saved, or you are saved and you're no longer a sinner. The concept trips a lot of people up. Yes, it does. I just read it to you. And tomorrow night, we're going to come back here again. And we're going to start here, and we're going to keep going. Although we may do a bunch of recap and read these verses again. But we're going to get these verses down inside of our life. And we're going to change our lives. Can I get an amen, everybody?
Amen! Amen!
Amen! Hallelujah! Glory be to God. Well, I hope my Bible with all the dollar bills didn't stretch you too much. I'll add another one right there so that when we come back tomorrow, we got a whole bunch of dollar bills in there. Isn't that cool looking? I didn't do it for any other reason than just going to stretch a few people. But please get stretched out of it and just realize God wants it. Man, yeah, amen. Once we got this, the doors are open. Wait, remember what our theme is for the year. Good job, Richard. Our theme for the year. I've set before you an open door no man can shut. You see, the open door is the righteousness of God. Because once you get that righteousness inside of you, that's the open door. Because you no longer have to say, I'm just an old dirty dog sinner. He's going to be like, I'm going to come down there and whoop you, boy. I'm going to whoop you. Once we get this, the door opens. Set before you an open door. And then remember what it says? Which now leads to the abundance of more. That's our theme for this year. It leads to the abundance of more. And then he said, stop the distractions at the door. Run like you've never run before. Get up and dance on the dance floor. Why? Because victory is yours for sure. That's what God said to you and me about this year. I mean, 2 years ago, he said, I am the God of the immediately. Right? How do you say it? I am the God of answers and the God of thee immediately. Wait, how did he say it? Hold on, I'll get it right here. I wrote it down today. He said, you will see many answers that come to you quickly. I am the God of answers and the God of thee immediately. Woo! These are words that God has given you and I to hold on to and walk in. Our final verse that we added a little bit after everything is Job 36:11. If you obey and serve him, he will make you successful and give you a happy life. Job 36:11 out of the New King James. Since we obey and serve him, we will spend our days in prosperity and our years in pleasure. Wait a minute. This is the first book of the Bible ever written. Before Abraham, this book was written. This is Brother Job, the man who was perfect in all of his ways. And we are obeying, and we are serving him. And we're living in prosperity and pleasure. Well, now I preached an extra 20 minutes when I should have stopped 10 minutes ago. Come back tomorrow, and we're going to finish this up. Let's pray together. Everybody pray this prayer with me right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I am zealous.
I am zealous.
And I repent.
And I repent.
I am a doer of the word of God.
I am a doer of the word of God.
I follow those who have received the kingdom.
I follow those who have received
the kingdom. And I function in that same path.
And I function in that.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
What did I say?
I repent. We're in the middle of confession, and then the people say, "What is this?"
But I am zealous, and I repent! Exclamation point. Wait, it's got to be right. You got to do it right. Then number two on our list is I'm a doer of the word of God. Number three, I follow those who have received the kingdom and function in it by faith. Amen. All right. I just wanted to make sure I didn't say something crazy because I'm kind of in a crazy place right now. In Jesus, mighty name. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. High five. Don't you love this?
Mm-hmm.
I love this. The only way this could be better is if we was in a big room and had about 1,000 people in it that's teaching this too.
And that's what we're doing for all y'all can be with us.
That's coming. That's coming. That's coming. We're going to see it. Amen? And we'll be faithful here and then keep speaking that there and watch it come to pass. Amen? He wants you to speak the exceeding abundantly above all you've ever asked or thought. But if you look at him and say, well, that's not for me. Excuse me, that is for you, and that is exactly what he expects of you. Quit saying it's not for me. Quit saying this is for the educated. Quit saying this is for the rich. Quit saying this is for the successful. Just say that this is for me. In Jesus' name. Okay. No more finishes. I think I've closed now about 5 times. Let's receive communion together. Can you tell I just want to still preach? You know, sometimes you just want to preach. And then the 90-second lady comes on. Don't tell me whether or not I can preach anymore, lady. Now, watch this. While I'm getting this set up here, I'm working on it. I'm almost there. Today, Brother Dutch gave us an assignment, and it looked like some of you actually joined in on that assignment. With this one, we went live out there by the side of the river and praying over the waterways of the United States of America. And if you did not hear the Dutch sheets this morning, I encourage you, when you're done, go to YouTube and listen to that video, okay? It's important that you see what this vision is. And then take care of the waterways in your community. And get a map out, get something out, and speak the word of God over them, that nobody will mess anything up, amen? That no weapon formed against us will prosper. Anybody that came here to do damage about anything in our nation will no longer be able to do, well, their plans has been foiled in Jesus' mighty name. So I'm going to have that video and up here a little bit later, but I encourage you to find a way in your place, in your life, in your city, in your state, in your county, in your community to speak the word of God over the waterways wherever you live. That's a good Michigan. You have very, very, very important waterways. There's a lot of people who get their drinking water out of the Great Lakes.
Mm-hmm.
Like millions of people who get their water from the Great Lakes. City of Chicago, the city of Grand Rapids, everything around the edge, all of those cities get their water, their drinking water, out of the Great Lakes. And so you better pray over that water. And nobody, but get the program and you'll see it. Now, let's take communion together. Jeez, help me, Jesus. Welcome. Communion with us is every night. We call it the New Covenant Worship. All right? Our process here is we're going to read these verses out loud, right out of the Bible, like Jesus said them to the Apostle Paul. And then when we get finished, we'll pray the prayer of salvation so everybody's right with God. And then we will receive our elements and speak it all together. And it's powerful. Ready? Here we go. Everybody read this right out loud at your house where you are. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, Jesus' redemptive work till he comes. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Let's read it again. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. God's love is perfect. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear and its torment in Jesus' name. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. So today, be made perfect in him. And now, the prayer of salvation. Now remember, these are not just words to say. This is a prayer to pray and to mean from the very depths of your being. There's no attaboys or stars or checkoffs when you say these words. This is a prayer that you and I pray to God. So with the greatest sincerity, everybody that's watching this video, either today, in the future, or even after the rapture has happened, pray this prayer with the deepest sincerity. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day for me. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I have been made a new creation in you, Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Lift your hands and just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I'm a new creation. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You might say, Pastor, what's going on inside of me? Well, darkness just turned to light. How? Jesus, the light of the world, just came to live on the inside of you. Because you're asking to. Fear just turns to faith. You may not even realize you had fear. But when you sin, then you're worthy of death. And death is hell, and hell produces fear. You have now been made into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Well, I don't even understand that. None of us do. But it's what the Bible said. So you have to just say, well, that's what it says. I believe it, and I receive it. And then, because you receive it, you're made an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus because you receive Jesus as your Lord and his Father as your Father. And now you're in the kingdom. How amazing is that? Here's some verses. Screenshot that if you want to. It'll make a good set of verses to study and read. Read them right out loud. Write them down. Write them all out. Get you one of these notebooks right here. It's one just like this. Write them all out. And then read them daily. It'll be a blessing to you. These are the foundation of your faith. There's our email address and website, hcpreacherman@gmail.com. Our website is samueljcottle.com. Like, subscribe, and hit the bell on all of our different platforms that we're on. And that way you're notified whenever we go live. We can be a blessing to you. We are the community of faith that you need to help you be established in the things of God. But if you don't ever come out and hang out with us, you'll never grow and develop in God. Because nobody can make it without a body. My finger will never be cut off, but if it was laying out in the yard, it can only exist so long away from the body. And you can't exist away from the body. So come and join us, and we'll be a blessing to you. Here we go. Pray over our elements today. Got mine here somewhere? Here we go. Hold your elements up. Hold your elements up. Say this with me. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread, representing your broken body, and this juice, representing your blood, poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. I'll pray this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes, I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotions, there is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplying in my body, from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me for this prayer. I receive the bread, your body broken now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your body that was broken for me. Ready? Pray this with us. Now I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your bloodshed, to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with you, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague, every curse must pass over and cannot be on me for my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged.
My robes
are made white, and I will always be the glorious church
without
spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me, I receive the fruit of the vine now in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Let's receive the blood of Jesus. Here we go. And sing this with me. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. It washes white as snow. Well, hallelujah. Welcome to the kingdom. We're glad you're with us. Come stick around with us. Remember this about communion. There's no place in the Bible that says you have to be a member of the church before you receive communion. That's just not in the Bible. That's man's way of making sure that everybody's right with God, but probably more about building membership. And that's not God's plan. If you are a member of the body of Christ, which means you've been born again, now you are able to receive communion elements. And you don't get right so you can come to the church. You come to God so you can get right. Once you receive Jesus in your life, he gives you the power to change everything. There's a whole lot of people that try to change everything and then come to church. It's the opposite way. You go to the doctor to get well. You don't go to the doctor when you are well. I mean, maybe some people do, but I don't. I don't go to the doctor. But anyways, we're glad to have you with us tonight in Jesus' mighty name. All right. Sister Phyllis, let's read the Ephesians verses for tonight. It's going to be good night.
Ephesians 3 verses 14 through 21.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, good. Okay. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family of heaven in heaven and named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
Wow.
And now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
In Revelation chapter 1.
I have it right here. I know it's here. Okay. Verses 5, 6, and 7. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, that he made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and I will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of that will mourn because of him. Even so. Amen. Thank you for letting me read that.
And amen. And amen. And you know, you think about it, every eye is going to see him. You want to be on the right side of seeing him, because you're going to hear that trumpet blow. And you and I are going to see him as we go. We're not going to stand on the ground and watch him for a while. As soon as his foot hits that cloud, then that trumpet blows. And the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to see him and be standing next to him, looking down at everybody that's left on the earth, seeing him going, oh, no.
Yeah.
Those guys were right, and we just missed it. And you don't want to be that. If you're ready, you won't miss it. And that day, Job chapter 33 says, God's speaking to man. Man doesn't necessarily perceive it. But we declare, and you declare, in a dream, in a vision of the night when deep sleep falls upon you. Then God speaks to you. And he opens up your eyes because you see a dream, and your ears because you can hear him talking. And on the inside, he seals your instruction right inside. Turns your foot from following the wrong path and conceals pride from you so that it don't make you hang on to something you shouldn't hang on to. And then he returns man to his youth and restores the years. In Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you again, that's what we have to say. Remember this? We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you.
And Jesus
is Lord. See you soon. In Jesus' mighty name.
God bless you.
Amen. And amen. And amen.